Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the third chapter, verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for the way and with for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And Jesus had been baptized just as he came from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. So, this is one of those moments that we kind of gloss over, but it is a watershed moment. And once it happens, there's no turning back. The inbreaking of God is a reminder for each of us to stay alert and to watch. Matthew moves rather quickly. If you recall, the first chapter is Jesus' birth. Then we have the arrival of the wise men and the move to exile. This week, we have now fast-forwarded through Jesus' entire life, and Jesus is ready to be baptized by a very reluctant John. But this baptism is the commissioning of God and the appearance of one who is going to establish justice upon earth. Matthew emphasizes that Jesus is a new communication that has been opened between God and man and woman. The heavens open up, the Spirit descends like a dove hovering over the earth, and a voice from heaven resonates with the creative words from Genesis proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." Now, you may think, what is it with this idea of heaven opening up, and why is this a new signal of communication and a new way of doing things? Here's what you need to remember. So, in Jesus' time, what did they think about the earth? Remember? It was flat, right? Completely flat. They also thought heaven was a dome that covered the entire earth. Some of you may be thinking of some artwork that we've seen where earth and then the heaven is this dome. And this dome kept everything in place. Because you didn't know where the edge of the earth was, there was always a fear you were going to fall off. So the dome was really important. And inside the dome was heaven and angels and people and earth. And God, of course, was on the outside, the master creator, on top of it all. So what does it mean when God breaks through that dome in this baptism? Basically rips it open, comes down as a dove. It's a sign that something new is coming. Something new that hasn't happened before. A new way of communication. A new relationship with God. You see, baptism is both an adoption into the very life of God, but also into the mission to proclaim justice to the land, to be the light to the nations, to open eyes of the blind, and to free prisoners from their dungeons, as we heard in Isaiah. This inbreaking is critically important for our way of where we have our relationship with God. And it reminds me of a story. So, back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication, there was this story. Perhaps apocryphal, about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed, and when he arrived, he entered a very large, noisy office. In the background, the telegraph clicked away. A sign on the reception counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they had been summoned to the inner office. The young man quickly filled out the form and he sat down with seven other waiting applicants. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door to the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. Why was this young man so bold? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard the summons yet. And they took more than a little satisfaction in assuming that the young man who went into the office would be reprimanded for his presumption and summarily disqualified from the job. Within a few minutes, the young man emerges from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announces to the applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and then one spoke up. "Wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never, ever got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer responded, "While you have sat there, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." I believe that our entire livelihood, indeed our life, depends on our ability to discern God's message to us. Those telegraph words could have been for us, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." That Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, is our roadmap to living a life which we have been adopted into upon our baptism. That thunderous John the Baptist reminds us that in order to fully enter into that life of baptism, we must remember that we have been asked to repent. And repenting is more than just saying, "I'm sorry." It's about changing our life. It's about changing our behavior so that we reflect not only our life, but Christ's life and the mission to proclaim justice to this land, to be the light to the nations, to open eyes of the blind and free prisoners from drug dungeons. My friends, we are to trust that God does and will continue to be the inbreaking God who says to each of us, "You are my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased." And that continually reminds us then to respond, to ask, "What next, God? What changes in this world do we need to be part of because we see Jesus in each other?" Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.